podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
I want to say thank you for today for the opportunity to be able to come. Always very honored to preach God's word, and very humbled to be at your church today. Wow, thank you. Today we bless the Lord. Amen. That's what worship is all about. Thank you so much. Beautiful, how beautiful. I decided today, instead of doing a PowerPoint or anything like that, I really just kind of wanted to give you a talk. You know, I don't know if some of you folks are like, or are really into like, pictures. I mean, it's like you can go to my house and my wife is like really into pictures, and you can see pictures that date back for 40 years. And you're able to look at different pictures. Matter of fact, my wife and my oldest granddaughter is with us today, and thrilled about having them with us. And sometimes we have a tendency that we look at life, like looking through a scrapbook. But in reality, life is not like that at all. A photograph is, for example, is a picture at a specific time, at a specific place, at a specific experience. And it's really cool. I mean, you folks at Facebook, you know about pictures. I mean, they're everywhere. But in reality, life is more like a journey. And for many of us, we need to understand that it's within the journey of life that God really brings transformation within our lives. It's in that journey of life. It's just not at that particular time, but it's in that journey. And so it's important, I guess, for us to know that as far as what God is doing within us, that the transformation takes place within the journey. The destination is within the journey. And so I wanted to talk to you about that today. I wanted to use a scripture that probably you're all familiar with. You probably know it by heart. You probably heard it read thousands of times. But I wanted to come at it today from a total different perspective. So if you would, turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 6. Beautiful story of a young man who was in his journey. And then all of a sudden, just as in our journeys, there are certain things that happen that God uses to bring course corrections. There are certain paradigm shifts that take place within our lives that God uses to get us back on the trail that He wanted us on. You know, and that life is filled with bumps. It's up and down. And at times there are certain barriers that we have to navigate. And they all happen in our lives. Isaiah 6, beginning with verse 1. This morning, would you stand with me in reverence to God as I read from His Word? Hear what the Word of God says. And in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of His robe filled the temple. Above Him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. And with two they covered their face, and with two they covered their feet, and with two He flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with its glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of Him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphims flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And then I said, "Here am I. Send me." May God bless His word. Let us pray. Father, this morning we are so grateful for the opportunity that you've given us, that your church can gather together in this building today for the purpose to worship you, for the purpose to come together, for the purpose, Lord, that so those who may not know you can really see what your body, what your people look like, and what they act like, and what they sound like, and the love that they have for one another, and the love they have for you. Oh God, today we praise you for that. Oh God, today we praise you today because, God, there is no other God like you. And Father, even at times when we create little idols, little gods within our lives that we have a tendency to fall off into a passion for and forget you, God, today we must confess that, God, there is no other God like you. And for your grace, for your mercy, for salvation that's in Christ Jesus, oh God, we praise you for your love. Your unconditional love. Oh God, we thank you for that today. Father, we thank you for every person that's gathered here today. Father, we pray, Lord, that you take all of the music, all of the fellowship, all that's happened so far in the service, and God, we lift it up to you, God, that it is a blessing to you. And Father, I pray now, Lord, that you would just settle our hearts and our minds. Turn our attention, Lord, to your word. Oh God, today I pray that the messenger would not get in the way of the message. Oh God, forgive me. I am a sinful man. And oh God, today I pray, Lord, that you would forgive me of my sins, Lord, and hide me behind the cross. And that, Father, today that I simply would be a channel. That God, today, that I simply would communicate what you have given me from your word through the power of the Holy Spirit. That God, today, it's all for your glory. And today, may we lift up Jesus. May we lift up Jesus in our preaching the way that we have lifted him up in music this morning. And may you receive all glory and honor and praise. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now here we see a young man by the name of Isaiah. He was kind of moving along in his journey. He was kind of just bopping along in life, and you know how it is, kind of how we get into that kind of mindset. You know, it's kind of like, you know, we get into routine of life. You know, you kind of get up in the morning and you look in the mirror and you kind of see, for me, I see that same old face. You know what I mean? And then we usually go out and do the same old things every day, and it just kind of happens that way. And life gets into a routine. You see, that's the way that it was for Isaiah. He was a young man that he was in the midst of his journey, and that he was moving along, and as he moved along in his journey, all of a sudden something had taken place. The Bible tells us that there was a king by the name of Uzziah. He was a pretty good king. He was not necessarily the best king, but he was an okay kind of king. And we see from reading in the scripture all about him that, for example, he was known for tearing down the high places of worship, the false places of worship. He was known for doing that. A great thing. He was a man that was also known for rebuilding the military of Israel. He was a man who was known for bringing agriculture back into their community, back into their people. He got them involved in mining iron ore. And so you see, it's like, he was really okay. And so here we have Isaiah. He's kind of moving along in his journeys the same way that we move along in our journeys. But then all of a sudden, something happened. King Uzziah died. Whoa. King Uzziah died. And many times we can just kind of move along in our lives. Kind of life gets into the routine. But all of a sudden, it may be after you've had that blood test, you get that call from the doctor that says, you know, something just don't look quite right. We'd like for you to come in and let's explore that a little bit more. Or in the midst of the family, something takes place. There may be an illness. There may be a tragedy. Something happens, and then all of a sudden, something takes place with the journey. For you young folks, it may be something with parents. It may be something with friends. It may be relationships. I mean, like, have you ever really been hurt in a relationship? It's like, you know how it is. It's like you really love somebody and you become kind of transparent with somebody. And then the next thing you know, they just pull the rug out from under you. You ever been like that before? And so all of a sudden, things begin to shift. Got an email yesterday from Pastor Jamie Vaughn, pastor down at a church in Madison. His dad was burned really, really bad in an accident, and he was going to Pennsylvania. He had just told me on Friday, we had met and was talking on Friday, about kind of what they were looking at doing on Sunday in the church, you know, and they had planned and they had worked so hard. But all of a sudden, there was a shift. It was a paradigm shift. And we all deal with those types of shifts within our lives. You have them, and I have them. Now, I want you to notice the first thing that Isaiah did when this happened in his life. The very first thing that had taken place when this happened in his life. Notice that in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up. Do you see what he did? The first thing that Isaiah did is that he looked up and he saw God. He went to God. You know, and for many of us, we'll go find a close friend and we'll talk about it. Or we'll go to Google and we'll Google it and we'll find out more information about it when something takes place. All those are really good. At times in church, we'll form a committee or we'll form a team to find out about it, to talk about it. But notice what Isaiah did. He looked up and he saw God. Quaker Gap Baptist, God is your greatest resource. God is your greatest resource. He looked up and he saw God, and as far as he could see God, God was sitting on a throne high and lifted up. The majesty, the beauty, the sovereignty of God, that knowing that God is in control. You see, folks, when things happen in our lives, when things kind of go south or things kind of go sour, one of the things that we know that we can look up and see God, that God is still always in control. We need to know that. That God doesn't step out of the picture. You know, for some people, it's kind of like, well, you know, like God is like a referee, an official in a basketball game. And it's like he kind of throws the basketball in and he gets out of the way. No. God loves you. There's nothing that you can do or cannot do that will make God love you any more than he does. And God is actively engaged in every bit of our life. So he saw God lifted up, seated upon the throne. But you know, I don't know about you, but with me, sometimes I get so busy, I kind of just forget that. I mean, it's like, you know, you'll be in such a hurry, you'll go through Bojangles and you go through the drive-thru and you order a sausage and egg biscuit and you order a cup of coffee and you sit there and you get impatient and want to start tooting your horn because you didn't get it fast enough. And for some of you folks, you realize years ago how long it really took to put the love and the time, for example, into the biscuit. It took time. But you see, we've had a tendency, we've become impatient. That's not the way it is with God. You know, sometimes God says, stop a minute, whoa, slow down. Let's talk about it. And all of the good blessings that we get from God, the scripture says that all good things come from the Lord. That we get so busy, we're so caught up in our own lives that we never, ever, ever realize where those blessings come from. To be able to be here this morning is a blessing from the Lord. To be able to have your children this morning is a blessing. And for me, like 5 grandchildren. You know, sometimes I think about if I could have just skipped the kids and went straight to the grandkids, it would have been a good idea. But... Now, some of you realize that. But God is involved. And one of the things we have to know that God doesn't necessarily work on our time frame. Now, I want Him to. But sometimes God doesn't work in my time frame. But do you know, folks, that God never arrives too early or too late? He's always on time, and His ways are not necessarily our ways, but He is God. The other thing that we need to know this morning is that when he looked up and he saw God, that it was so important to understand that we need to be centered in the Lord. I have a good friend of mine. She teaches people how to ride horses. As I get older, I think sometimes the horse may ride me. I don't know, but she teaches people how to ride horses. And one of the things that she teaches people, it is important to be centered in the saddle. If you're centered in the saddle, wherever the horse may go, you'll be in the saddle. And for many of us, we are not centered like that. We're not centered in the Lord. We're centered in our career. You know, it's really kind of interesting this day and time. It's like where people find their identities. Brother Jack, deal with pastors all the time, that their identity is wrapped up in being a pastor. And so therefore, if that goes away, it's like, who am I? Are some people whose identity is wrapped up in simply being in the work and what it is that they can do? No. Our identity needs to be in Christ, in Christ alone. And so when things around us may seem to fall apart, we're still centered with our identity in Christ. So he looked up and he saw God. Notice the other thing that he saw there. Here were these like weird created kind of beings, you know, and they had like 6 wings, and with 2 they covered the upper parts of the bodies, and with 2 they covered the lower parts of the bodies, and with 2 they were flying around. And they were crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Our God is a holy God. And because God is a holy God, that there can be tendencies at times that we become legalist. I've been studying some scripture around the Great Commission, Jack. And in the Great Commission, you know, it tells us, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. Have you ever thought about that? How many things have we been commanded? Oh, you know, that's really a lot. Especially for a 55-year-old bald-headed guy to try to remember, that's really a lot. That's the reason I'm kind of moving around. If I stay here, you may be blinded by that light. But really think about that. And then you go on down to the Sermon on the Mount, and there on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is teaching us that it's not just outside behavior. It's even our thinking, our attitude, our motivation. You know, he said, you heard it said that you should not murder. But if you get angry and stay angry with your brother, kind of same thing. You should not commit adultery. But if you're checking out this person, it's like you lust over him, you've committed adultery. He took it deeper, and I'm saying, like, wow. And we're taught to command, to teach people all that he's commanded us. And I'm saying, like, wow, that is like so hard. I mean, most of us would not even know. And then one day, the religious people came to Jesus. They were always tempting him. I mean, they were always testing Jesus, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And they asked him, like, which is the greatest of all the commandments? They were always trying to get him in the middle. And he said to them, the first is this, to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And he said, the second is like the first, to love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, on these two, depend all the law and the prophets. And it's like, wow, I get it. I don't have to remember all of those commands. Because surely as I try to check them off, I'm missing one. But all I have to do is focus on loving God. It's having a passion, having a love for God. And out of that love for God is loving all other people. Isn't that pretty cool? So instead of thinking about all these 400,000 or 500,000 different commands, I can just focus on two. But sometimes we love ourselves more than we love God. That's called idolatry. So anyway, Isaiah looked up and he saw God. But then notice what he did. And it says, and the foundations of the threshold shook, and the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, woe is me, for I am lost, for I am ruined. For I am a man of unclean lips, and dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He looked up and he saw God, and then the next place he looked in and he saw self. Can I say today that the most difficult person to be honest with is not the spouse, is not the boyfriend or the girlfriend, not the kids, not the mom or dad, not the close friend, but the person that's usually the most difficult to be honest with is self. Because anytime we look up and we really see God the way that Isaiah saw God in our journey, then we're forced to look in and become honest with ourselves. One of the things I do as your missionary, I do a lot of traveling. And there are two things I'm very grateful for. Number one, I am very grateful for air condition. A guy like me can only pull off so many clothes and be legal. You know what I mean? I mean, now you're probably looking at me in a different way up here. So it's like, oh no, I didn't mean to go there. And the other thing that I'm very grateful for is luggage with wheels. Huh? I mean, you can go to an airport, and it's kind of like the old Simon and Garfunkel song, The Sound of Silence. You can go to the airport and just be still and listen. It goes click, 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 click. You hear it. You hear them pull in the luggage. You see, and I may be wrong about this. It may be just about me. Probably not about you. But I think that people have invisible luggage. And I think they pull it around with them everywhere that they go. And it's packed full of stuff. It's packed full of stuff that comes from life. That comes from experiences. It's just filled with a lot of stuff. I even think that maybe it goes deeper than that. I think maybe down in our heart there are like little rooms. And those little rooms have little doors. And we keep locks on those doors. Because down in those rooms, down deep inside of us, they are filled with broken relationships. They're filled with where we've really been hurt. Hurt so bad. Maybe secret sins. But they're just filled with stuff. And we don't like to visit those. Nobody likes to go and unpack stuff that is hurtful. I mean, it hurts. And God begins to shine His light of love and grace. You see, the Scripture tells us that light and darkness cannot coexist. And he begins to shine his light of love and grace down into those little rooms. And sometimes with me, now probably not you, but sometimes with me it's like, no, God, don't go there. I'm just not ready to deal with that. God, I don't want to unpack that. God, that just hurts so bad. God, just leave me alone. And there's a tendency I'll run when I start unpacking that. But God, with His grace and with His love, helps me to begin to unpack that in light of the gospel. And all of a sudden, that invisible luggage begins to fall away. So anytime in your journey that you really look up and you take a look at God, the holiness of God, the wonder of God, the worthiness of the Lord. Oh, we have to look in and see self. And then notice in our journeys that God always provides us with a place of grace. Notice what it says here, looking at verse number 6. It says, "Then one of the seraphims flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongues from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin atoned for.'" Notice it was God who came to Isaiah. I kind of think it's funny. I hear all these folks talk about, well, I just kind of like to reach up and hold the hand of God. You'll do a better job of trying to hold on to a saddle horn with a horse bucking like crazy. It just won't work. I may think I can hold on, but you know what? When the times get tough, you know what takes place? I'll let go. It was the psalmist who said that God reached down into the mire and the muck of sin, and He lifted me out. And He holds me in His hand. And it's John who tells us that there's not a demon in hell, not a devil in hell, that can pluck us from that hand. Do you see the grace? But most of the time we'll see God and we'll look at self, and right there we get stuck. We get stuck right there. We cannot move on in life. We get stuck right there. We don't experience God's grace that we can just let go. Whatever it is, we can just take it to the cross so that He who knew no sin became sin so that we could be made the righteousness of God. We just take it to the cross. There's a movie that I like. I watched it the other night. It was on USA Channel, I think it was. It's the guy by the name of he's like an naval aviator who flies the. His name is Maverick. Had a code name Maverick. Top Gun. Who's the guy that plays in that? All you ladies really know who's the guy that plays in that. I know. You know, but so you remember what happened in that? It's like he got into a flat spin and a training thing, and he crashed, and his navigator, his radar man or whatever they call him, Goose, died. You remember that? And then it's kind of like he kind of loses himself. But at the end of the movie, he comes up on the flight deck out of the ocean, and notice what he does. I love this piece. He has Goose's dog tags. You remember that? Remember that? Yeah. And so you watched that movie too. Yeah. It's a real cool movie. Yeah. Yeah. And so he takes those, as long as we don't lose the loving feeling, is the main thing. Yeah. And so he takes those dog tags. You remember what he does? He looks at them. He looks out in the ocean. He looks at them. He looks out into the sea. And he takes those dog tags and he just throws them. You see, God wants us to take our stuff and throw it into His sea of grace, His sea of forgetfulness. It's amazing. God says, I'll cast your stuff, your sin, as far as the east is from the west. I'll remember them no more. Hey, we need to live into that. Just don't be held back all the time by the past. And then I'm going to close here. He looked up and he saw God. He looked in and he saw himself. And then he looked out and he saw others. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And then I said, here am I, send me. One thing as I love about your church doesn't just look in, it looks out, Jack. That is such a cool thing. I mean, if you want to, you can lift your hand and just kind of pat yourself on the back. I think that's a real cool thing. You look out. But can I put that in another paradigm for you? Can I put that in a paradigm that when you look out, first of all, you have to understand who you are? Are you as individuals a disciple in Christ? Are you as a family, for example, parents, and whatever the family may look like, but you parents, are you discipling your children? The biblical responsibility of discipleship and growing in the Lord is not just placed on this dude over here. You've got hair now too. You're pretty handsome with hair, by the way. Now look at you, man. Didn't you have your hair cut off short before? I thought so. Your head was kind of like mine. You do have hair. But anyway, his responsibility, you can't just bring your kids to him and say, just give them to him and say, disciple my kids. You need to know it doesn't work that way. Biblically, it doesn't work that way. And he don't have enough time with all that he has with building relationships with your kids, youth, young men and women. He doesn't have the time. We have the biblical responsibility to do that at home. And then how about your neighborhood, your community? I call it a missionary mindset. What happens that when we leave this place, we realize that we're missionaries, and when we go out, we're missionaries in our home, we're missionaries in our communities, we're missionaries where we work. Think about that. And just as we're missionaries when we go on mission trips. The question I want to end with today is this. Where are you looking? Is there something in life that has become so big, such a large issue, that you've taken your focus off God? Where are you looking? Do we look up first and see God? Because if you truly see God, you're going to take a hard look at self. And when you truly do that, you have to take a hard look at all that's around us. It can't just be an inward focus kind of thing. But where are you looking? What's more important to you right now? And could it be, are you living in the past in your life? Is there something there that just kind of grabs you and holding on and won't let go? And Paul says he gets rid of those weights. He's not letting anything hold him back from running. You get the idea of journey, the idea of running. I don't run, I walk. But the idea of going forward, we can't get stuck there. Would you bow your heads and pray with me, please? Father, we are so grateful today for your love. We're so grateful today for your kindness. And God, at times we find paradigm shifts in our journeys, but at times we find difficulties in our journey of life. And God, it is so hard that God, we just kind of get stuck. And then Lord, when we break free, we don't take time then to take a hard look at self the way Isaiah did. Isaiah realized that he was a man with unclean lips. He was a dirty mouthed man that lived among dirty mouthed people. He realized that. He was a sinful man that lived among sinful people. He was honest with you. God, this morning, help us to be honest with you. And then Lord, to experience your grace. Your beautiful grace, amazing grace. Oh God, how sweet the sound. And then God, this morning, help us then to look out. But look out with you being the center of what's most important. Being the center of our lives. Let our identities be found in you and you alone. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.